There are three words that are contained in Scripture, and specifically three words that I'm going to talk about this morning, that when we think about those three words, or these three words, it ought to cause a plethora of reaction in us. First of all, joy. Secondly, awe, fear, respect, jubilation, gladness. I could probably go on for the rest of the 45 minutes of the lesson this morning. Just teasing about those 45 minutes. Some of y'all wouldn't even catch the 45 minutes, did you? Seriously, oh, you're just going to let me speak 45 minutes. All right, good. On a serious note, these three words I want you to ponder with me this morning. Simply put, God has spoken. Now think about that for a minute. There are people all over this world, and have been since man was on this planet, that worship gods and goddesses and idols and whatever else they choose to worship. And their deity never speaks to them. Only in their minds, only in imagination, only in their perception. But our God has spoken. And he has spoken to us in many different ways, at many different times. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, we're told specifically that that is a fact. So we're going to take this verse, or this couple of verses this morning from Hebrews chapter 1, and take a look at really what that means to us. And there's another thing that ought to be our response when we talk about this fact that God has spoken. What did he say? How did he say it? Who did he say it to? And probably most important of all, what is my personal response to what God has said? See, if we don't have that personal response to what God has said, then we're not listening. Because I don't believe that you can hear what God has said through the pages of your Bible and not have some sort of response, personally. And that response that you have to what God has spoken is going to determine, on your behalf, where you get to spend eternity. With God who has spoken, or without God who has spoken. Let's read the passage. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has also made the worlds, who, being in the brightness of his glory and expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now that specifically let me back up and change the word specifically. That purposefully speaks of Jesus. It's not so much about what God has spoken, but that God has spoken at various times and now speaks to us through his Son. And the remainder of those three verses is about his Son. But I want us to think about, and we'll come back to that toward the end of the lesson, about how Jesus speaks to us on behalf of the Father during these times. But consider with me this morning that everyone who has heard God speak in the past has had that reaction, their own personal reaction. Tommy read a passage of Scripture. Let's go back and take a look at that passage in Psalms, the first Psalm. Let's take just a brief look at part of that Psalm this morning. Psalm 1. It's a contrast between the way of the righteous and the ungodly. We understand that to be true. But let's just look at the first part. Because the ungodly have heard God speak and had a negative response. But the godly person, the righteous person, talked about in the first three verses of this psalm, had a better response to what God has spoken. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He has heard the Lord speak, in whatever manner he has heard the Lord speak, whether it be through someone else or directly from the Lord himself, And he is happy with that. He has had a positive, blessed response to it. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Now, that doesn't mean he's sitting with his scripture in hand 24/7 and reading text all day, every day, even all night. I'm sure he sleeps sometimes. But this blessed, happy man, when things of life come his way, he considers what God has spoken. He takes into consideration the environment that he's in, what God has said and why he has said it and who he said it to. And his response is going to dictate how he deals with a particular situation or life circumstance. He meditates day and night. The reaction or the result of that is that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you live your life within God's spoken will, you can't help but prosper. We see that? I hope we do. Now, sometimes I think we're living our life and we think it's within God's will, but it might not be, because we've missed some of what God said along the way. Or we have maybe misunderstood some of what God has said. You see, there's people who have spoken in the Bible that are not inspired by God. They have spoken truth in some cases, and they've spoken falsehood in some cases, but they're not necessarily inspired. But when we hear what God has said through those he has chosen to speak through, those who are inspired either by himself or by the Holy Spirit, either one, then we need to pay attention. Then we need to understand, what does that mean to me? You've heard me say before, let's put this in our lap and look at it for a minute and see how it fits us. Well, we need to do that a lot. Let's look at a couple of things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we are told that we're to be diligent to present ourselves approved of God. Actually, Timothy was told this by the Apostle Paul, but we can take it and we can address it to ourselves, make it personal. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm pretty sure we've talked about that, rightly dividing the word of truth before. A lot of people don't rightly divide the word of truth. We're studying, you know, on Sunday nights about these millennialisms, premillennialism, dispensational premillennialism, amillennial, all the other isms that go along with that strain of teaching. And it just proves out itself that a lot of folks in this life, and since God has spoken, have misunderstood and misinterpreted what God said. Even to the thief on the cross. Go with me just briefly to Luke chapter 23. In Luke 23, we have the account of Jesus, and he's there on the cross, and these two common criminals are hung there with him on their crosses. And we know the story, we know the accounting of it, but let's take a look at it just for a second for the sake of rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is just one instance. In Luke 23, down to begin at verse 39, we already have the two criminals on their crosses, on either side of the Christ, on his cross. In verse 39 of Luke 23, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, you will be with me, or today you'll be with me in heaven. I want you to look in verse 42 at the word when. I don't know that I've ever noticed that word before and really paid attention to the word when before, but look what this thief says. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I don't know if that thief considered Jesus to be going to have and reign in a physical kingdom, but I know he was hanging on a cross beside the Christ, who was also hanging on a cross, and I'm pretty sure that that criminal knew that Christ was going to die that day. Wouldn't you understand that to be true? If you're hanging on the cross beside the Christ, wouldn't you pretty well know that both of you are going to be dead come Sunday? But go back to the word when. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Knowing that Christ was going to die that day, along with this thief, these other two thieves, he still understood that there was coming a kingdom. And that Christ was going to come into his kingdom. I believe he understood it was going to be a kingdom after the fact of Christ's death. And thereby, understanding it was to be a spiritual kingdom. I believe that thief was smarter than the Pharisees. Maybe not smarter, maybe wiser is a better word. His understanding was, for whatever reason, when you come into your kingdom, he might as well have said, after you're dead, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. This man maybe have known the scriptures, have studied the scriptures, understood the Messiah's kingdom was going to be a spiritual, not a physical kingdom, where the rest of the Pharisees and most of the Jewish folks of that day understood it to be a physical kingdom. That's the reason they didn't follow Christ when they should have. But do you see the difference in rightly dividing the word and not rightly dividing the word? You've got the Sadducees on the one hand who rightly did not divide the word, understandably true. And you have this thief that sounds like that he understood it. That he understood that Christ was still, even after his death, coming into his kingdom. That's just one instance of rightly dividing the word. You know, so there's folks today who says, well, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. But yet Jesus took him to heaven that day, took him to paradise that day. People believe that, teach that. And I don't know that, can you say for sure that that thief on the cross was not baptized? I don't think we can. Wasn't John baptizing before Christ was baptizing and his apostles? John the baptizer I'm talking about. Scriptures tell us that they were coming to John to be baptized. How do we know that this man, this criminal man, this thief on the cross, how do we know he wasn't baptized? I don't believe we can say that. So let's assume the other way for a second. Let's assume he was baptized, John's baptism, and maybe that's the only baptism he knew. Rightly dividing the word tells us that, number one, Jesus had not died yet, had not been resurrected yet, the church had not been established yet when this thief spoke those words to Christ. Rightly dividing the scripture says that when Jesus told this thief, today you'll be with me in paradise, he spoke those words before Acts chapter 2, before the establishment of the church, before the kingdom was set up. Kingdom, church, body. We've talked about that before, those being interchangeable words. The body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the church of Christ. So did Jesus have a right to tell this man, today you'll be with me in paradise? Well, we better be careful if we think he didn't. Surely he did. Because just shortly after that, Jesus would tell him that all power had been given to me, or tell his apostles, all power has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, and you know the rest of the Great Commission. So rightly dividing the word of truth is most important for us when it comes to what God has said. Now let's go on with the rest of the lesson. God spoke, and I believe for 2,500 years or so, man was seemingly still in the first grade. We didn't progress much beyond the first grade level spiritually for the first 2,500 years of our existence, from the garden forward. God spoke to Adam. He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Isaac and Jacob directly, between him and they, him and them. Didn't invite anybody else to participate in that communication, but it was just the father to the fathers, the patriarchic fathers. There's been three ages in this life on earth, the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, where Moses was speaking on behalf of God, and then the Christian age. In all three of those ages, God has spoken. He spoke directly to Adam and the fathers at one point in time, and after that he spoke to all everybody else through the prophets. When we go back and read on our Thursday night Bible reading, it's been a really great opportunity and event, I think, for everybody that shared in that, reading through the prophets and understanding some things and not understanding some things and putting some things. When we talk about the New Testament, Old Testament, how it relates together, and we're beginning to put some things together that maybe we didn't understand before. We're getting closer and better at rightly dividing the word of truth, Old Testament to New Testament. And that's a blessing. So if you'd like to share in that blessing, come be with us on Thursday night. How's that for a segue? But God has spoken to the fathers by the prophets, and then he spoke in various manners. The scripture in Hebrews 1 goes on to say he spoke at various times and in various ways or sundry ways. He used some very strange ways to talk to men and communicate his will. And some of their responses were good, and some were not so good. And you've got, he's speaking directly to Adam. He sent two angels to speak to Lot. And remember, just before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent the two angels to speak to Lot. They get his family safely out of Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. A little later on, he spoke to Jacob in a dream. Jacob dreamed about a ladder stretching from earth up to heaven and angels going up and down that ladder. Remember that? And he got his point across to Jacob through that ladder and through that impression, that dream. That's a little odd, don't you think? I wouldn't have enough smarts to talk to somebody about a ladder and get a point across except don't walk under it if you're superstitious. He spoke from a burning bush to Moses. What's that about? God could have chosen any way in the world, any way in all of creation to speak to different people, and he's chosen these ways. He spoke through a burning bush to Moses, who later led Israel out of bondage in Egypt. Then, to top it all off, he uses a donkey to speak to Balaam. Can you imagine Balaam riding on that donkey, and the donkey, he's stopping and he smacks him with a stick, gets his attention. He gears on a little bit farther. Now the donkeys, they're going through a narrow pass and in a brick or rock wall type of affair, and he rubs up against that wall and he smacks him again. And then he starts talking to him. Why'd you hit me? Who would have thought to have a donkey talk to a man and get him to understand what God wanted him to know? God did. Might have been the only way Balaam was going to pay attention. I don't know. There's a lot of jokes that could be made about that, you know. But I'm not going to go there. Daniel chapter 5. The king is throwing a big soiree and party, and they're using all the gold from the temple to serve all the beverages and all the drinks and the wine and so forth. And everybody's getting pretty well plastered, and God uses a man's hand, the vision of a hand writing on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Got the king's attention. Says he became weak in his knees. I can just imagine. Then he used the prophet to explain the teaching. God spoke at various times and in various ways. You go look back through some of the things that God has done with man over the Old Testament time period and even on to the beginning of the New Testament, it is absolutely amazing how God has communicated what he has chosen to spoke, what he chosen to get us to know his will, his nature, his preferences, his desires for us. Now let's bring it to the New Testament times. He said he's spoken in these last days to us through his Son. And people still hear it, read it, try not to have a response to it, but you cannot consume any of the teaching of the New Testament and not have a response. It's either a positive or negative response, period. It can't be any other way. If you try to leave it alone, that's a negative response. You try to ignore it, that's a negative response. Blaspheme it, ridicule it, negative responses. So there's not any way to hear the word and not have a response. in Matthew 17, in the first 8 verses. Let's go there together. Matthew 17, in the first 8 verses. Verse 1 tells us, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. That's a pretty strong comment coming from that cloud. And if we understand, if we rightly divide this word, don't really be concerned about what Moses said. Don't be really concerned about what Elijah said. You hear my Son. Pay attention to what he has said. Now, God spoke that, wanting us to understand that you no longer need Peter and the rest and those that came after Peter up until today and those that come after us. Paul said that in Romans 15:4, those things written before, written for our learning. So we need to understand that the Old Testament scriptures, we have them for our learning, for our education. To know that through the comfort and the hope of the scriptures, we can have that hope. But we don't live there anymore. God said there's a separation. If you go back and read further in the Hebrew letter, 8, 9, and 10, those chapters, you find out that Jesus is the author of a better covenant. A new covenant, a better covenant that's superior in all ways to the first covenant. And those things Jesus taught, God himself spoke the words, hear him. So for those folks that read the same Bible I do and they still want to have Saturday worship services on the Sabbath and they still want to do those things that were taught in the Old Testament to Israel and Judah, what about hear him? What about hear God's Son like God said? Isn't that more important? Because if we say it's not, if we go back to the way things were, what we're saying is what God said when he spoke is not as important as our preferences. Now, folks, that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. That's eternally dangerous. Go with me to 2 John at verse 9. I'll tell you how dangerous that is. 2 John and verse 9. When he said, hear him, hear my Son, he intended for us to abide in what Jesus has taught and spoken and what his apostles have taught and spoken. The doctrine of Christ, we call it. John refers to that in 2 John verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. How eternally dangerous is that statement? If we choose the negative response, to ignore, to blaspheme, to ridicule, to persecute, to negatively respond to God's word, the doctrine of Christ, then we have not God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go into eternity without God on my side, without having God, without having the Son. He finishes that verse, he says, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. That's better. If you had a choice this morning to make, when you go into eternity from this life, when you begin that after crossover life, when you begin that eternity off of this planet, do you want to do that with God or without God? With Jesus or without Jesus? Anybody in their right mind would answer that to the positive, with God, with Jesus, with the Father, with the Son. But how often do we behave, and when I say we, I mean we as humankind, how often does humankind behave in manners that Paul and Peter and others describe in the New Testament as ways that God disdains and is displeased with. You know, it's amazing to me the difference we perceive in the physical as opposed to the spiritual. If I'm with a group of folks and they're continually running me down and they're continually saying, you don't know what you're talking about, and they're negative, 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 I'm not going to hang out with them folks much anymore. Not going to do me any good, because I'm just going to get continually run down, beaten up, put down. What good is that? What do you think God thinks about the people that he loves, that he wants to be with, that continually run him down, blaspheme, ridicule, mimic, curse in his direction? If it were you and I, we wouldn't hang around those folks, would we? Not very long. God hates that stuff a whole lot worse than we do. Just read through some of the things that he has spoken. It doesn't take very long to read through some of Paul's letters that God's serious about what he dislikes. Matter of fact, he's guided Paul through his Holy Spirit to say, with this attitude or with these behavior traits and characteristics, you cannot inherit the kingdom. In other words, that's like, you can't get there from here. With that disposition, you will no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. How many ways does Paul have to say it before folks start saying, you know what? God has spoken some serious truth here. I need to pay attention. See, that's the response we ought to have. Every one of us. I know y'all know that. I'm not saying anything this morning you don't already know. This is like one of Peter's issues by way of reminder. But we ought to also, beyond ourselves, think about the next generation, next door neighbors, next person you meet in the line at the grocery store. I didn't say Walmart. Was it good? Some other folks that we know may need to hear this stuff. They may need to hear these truths. They may need to ponder those three words. God has spoken. Because when God speaks, it's serious, no matter what the issue or topic. If you're not sharing what God has spoken with some of those other folks that you know in your life, then shame on us, because God has spoken that we need to do that very thing. Has he not told us through the apostles and through your New Testament, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15, 16, Luke 24, 47, and so forth. Go and preach the gospel. Share the word. Share what he's spoken with other people. Make disciples. Baptize them. He who believes is baptized will be saved. Who does not believe, be condemned. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. But sometimes it takes a little bit of encouragement from others. Has not he told us, encourage your brethren? Has not he told us to continue, to keep the main thing the main thing? We can sum up every sermon you've ever heard from this pulpit since I've been here. He's told us those things. And yet still, some of us choose to ignore them. He's told us to sing and make melody in our hearts, and sometimes we just don't do that. God has spoken through his Son, and he's serious about what he said. When we get serious about what he says, then some folks will be responding on Sunday morning to the invitation. Some folks will be placing membership. Some folks will be asking for forgiveness of sins. Some folks will be coming back to the Lord. A lot of things will be different. A lot of things will change when we begin to be serious about what God has spoken. Now, some of that may be you this morning. I may be describing where your heart is this morning. I don't know. But as we stand and sing this song in number 904, the question the song asks is, have you been to Jesus? God has spoken. You need to get to my Son, because the only way to heaven is through him. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to consider those things very seriously. And if we can help you do that, please let us know. Christian, if you're not where you ought to be in your Christian life, and if some of those things that we've talked about this morning are a concern that you have, then whatever way we need to help, then you need to let us know that. We don't just automatically know by osmosis. God didn't give us that ability. But he did give us the ability to help in whatever way we can. We'd be glad to. That's what we're about. If you make it known, while together we stand and sing this song. Trusting in him.
in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In closing, let's be turning to number 716. Number 716. Again, it's good to see everyone here, and we want to make sure to invite you back tonight for our evening worship service at 6 o'clock. Fanny, are we having do-re-mi today? All right, let's be showing up at 5 o'clock for our do-re-mi. If you want to learn a little bit more about reading shape notes and singing better. And, of course, we want you back Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock for our midweek Bible study. Ladies meet at 10 o'clock on Wednesday mornings and Thursday nights for Bible reading. Yeah, Joe? Yeah, men's business meeting this coming Saturday. Guys, let's remember that. We'll be meeting. Jerry, you going to have eggs going? Bacon and eggs. So let's keep all these things in mind and make each and every one of them that we can. Let's sing the first verse. Sing to me of heaven, and we'll be dismissed with a prayer. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that by me it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me.